work and plan and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's message is The Watchman. We're going to talk about the importance of those who have the responsibility of watching. The Watchman. Let's get it right here. There we go. All right. Hebrews 13:17 is our text this morning. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that must give account, that they must do it with joy, may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Think about that. We don't usually very often present this passage, but I think it's important because the Bible has put it in there. God has put it in there. God gave watchmen. Ephesians 4:11-16 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." These are different roles that God has placed in the church for different purposes at different times. The apostles had the responsibility of presenting the word originally and establishing the church, getting it going. And the prophets provided the revelation from God. And then God gave evangelists who carried the word throughout the world. And the pastors and teachers has to do with the elders over the church and responsibility. Paul said to the elders from Ephesus in Acts 20:28, says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." He's talking to these elders that he had brought down from Ephesus, and he's giving them a kind of a final encouragement for the work that they have to do. They were to oversee the flock. They were to feed the church, which God had purchased with his own blood. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So this is Paul anticipated the problems, and he wanted these fellows to be aware of that of their own selves there were going to be problems. And there was also going to be problems from the people who might come in and who might create problems. Therefore, he says, "Watch. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." It's important that flocks have shepherds, because without shepherds, the flocks are in danger. God planned for an organized church with watchmen. It was not to be a church of anarchy. There are laws and there are leaders authorized to govern. You know, we hear today, a lot of times we hear this thing of that we don't accept the institutional church. I don't know how many of you have heard that, but usually that's people who don't want to obey God. They want to do their own thing, and they don't want to do what God says. And so they don't like the institutional church. But if there wasn't an institutional church, there wouldn't be any church. God established the church for the purpose of carrying the word to the world. That's what our job is to do. When we come together, that's what we're aiming at. Christ is the head. When we started this church, I remember years ago, one family said, or one person said, because we said, well, we're going to have mutual ministry here. We're going to have everybody's going to serve. The certain leaders are all going to share in the preaching and so on. And the person said, but who shall we call our leader? Well, Christ is the leader. He's the head. We work together as a team, as he ordained, to accomplish that job. Ephesians 5:23 through 24 says, for the husband as the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So in our concept, we've tried to establish the original concept in the Bible. The Christ is the head, and we all share in the leadership. Elders were appointed over each congregation in the beginning. And Paul and Barnabas, when they went through on their first missionary journey, they came back and in Acts 14:23 said, and when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Paul spoke to Titus and he said, for this cause left I you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you. God intended for a collective ministry, not a one-man authority. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So there they had the elders, bishops and elders are the same thing in the Bible. And they had the deacons. And we're fortunate to have the same thing here at the church because we planned for it and worked for it, tried to establish it as it was in the Bible. But Acts 11:29-30 says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They had the responsibility of taking care of the finances. In Acts 15:2 it says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So the church at Jerusalem had apostles, and they had already established elders. That was one of the early features of the church. And they were, when they had problems up at Antioch, they sent down to the apostles and elders. In Acts 15:4-6, it says, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. So again, the apostles and elders worked together over the church. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. In Acts 15:22-23, it says, then pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Let's take a look at the work of the watchman. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's two things here established in this passage. They were to rule over the church. and they were to watch in behalf of the souls of the church. So that's what the leadership is to do. The work of the watchman in Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule of you. So let's take a look at this feature of ruling. The Greek word means to lead or have authority over. So they have the responsibility of leading the church. In Hebrews 13:17 it says, obey them that have the rule over you. All must obey God, we find in the scriptures, in Acts 5:29, Ephesians 5:24-25. Wives must obey husbands, 1 Peter 3:1. Children are to obey parents, Ephesians 6:1. Subjects obey governments, 1 Peter 4:13-14. Servants obey masters, Colossians 3:22. There's responsibility in the church. And God didn't just leave people, everybody, to do as they pleased, whenever they pleased, however they pleased. Just in families, the children are to obey the parents. And a lot of times people don't like this idea of obedience, but that's what in the Bible. It's part of what it says. And those who don't are disobeying the Bible. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch in behalf of your soul. So here's the second factor, watching. Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So it's important that we have watchmen looking after our souls. In Philemon 1:19 says, I, Paul, write it with thine own hand. I will repay it, though I do not say that you owe me your own self. Now, Paul was talking about sending Philemon back, and sending the servant back, and he was saying, I will repay anything that he owes you. And so, but he says, now think about it, you owe me. And you know, the work that leaders do is to provide for the souls of the people and to present and help and encourage and strengthen. And if they hadn't done the job, you wouldn't have the opportunity to be a Christian. That's what their job is, to present the word. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 5:1-3. Says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which is revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. So that's a role. We have to present the word, all of it. Whether it's something that we like or other people like or whatever or not. Taking the oversight, that's the responsibility of the elders, to take that oversight. Not by constraint. It's not something that we force upon people. It's not to be for money. Perish with the hot. Paul to Timothy at Ephesus wrote, 1 Timothy 5:17-18, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So here the elders ruled. They had the responsibility of caring for the church, for the flock, and they labored in the word and doctrine. Remember that the elders, Timothy and Titus both, are told that they need to be apt to, or they need to be able to teach. Well, the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborers worthy of his hire. Those are what God says, and we need to follow them. 2 Timothy 4:1-5 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching or doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why many times I refer to the church of the itching ears down the street. You can always find one of those. They're available if you want to hear what you want to hear rather than what God says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What we're trying here to do is to teach what the Bible says, no matter who likes it or who doesn't, because it's right, because God said it, and we believe it. But watch you in all things. Here we are again, the importance of watching. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. So the evangelists also have this work of watching. Number three, the benefits of watchmen. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. They may do this with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable to you. The benefits of having the watchmen is that they are watching for our souls. They are to be profitable to us. And if we accept their watching, it will be. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow the work of those who are ruling, are to speak the word of God, and people should follow the faith. Paul told the Ephesians that leaders were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, a lot of people have the idea that the leadership is supposed to do everything. It's not true. The leaders were chosen to perfect the saints for the work of ministry. We're to help people become ministers, become servants, serve Christ. Everybody is supposed to serve Christ. The leadership's responsibility is help get people to do that, or help them to do it. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, and this is the purpose of accomplishing this, so we all have the same faith in Christ, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, complete together, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's the goal. That's why we have leaders. And without that, the non-institutional followers don't have that. They have not the measure of the stature of Christ, but their own measure, comparing themselves with themselves, as Scripture says, which is not wise. That we henceforth be no more children, need to grow up, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. If you don't know what the Bible teaches because nobody's taught you, then you just get carried away. People just are off into this thing and are off into that thing, and it doesn't make a difference what the Lord says. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Christ is the head, and our job is to speak the truth in love, so that people might grow. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. the whole body to grow properly. If one member of the body doesn't grow or is deformed in some way, then you're going to have the problem that the body is not going to function very good. It's going to have problems within it. There'll be struggles, and it's not going to be able to accomplish what God wants. Accountability of watchmen. Now, a lot of people have the idea that if you get to be the boss, then you have it great. And so you have the say, and it doesn't make any difference, and it's going to be a nice thing for you. Actually, there are problems. I can testify that over the years, because I've had plenty of experience with it. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch and be after yourselves, as they that must give account. So as leaders, we must give account for the people, for those who are not doing well and mess up. And so we go through a lot of process of anguish of trying to know how to help. Some people get themselves into all kinds of pickles. They get into difficulties, and we have to try to come along. We try to avoid being really harsh, and yet they lose their souls if they don't shape it up. And so how do we do this? Some people buck back against our advice and help that we try to give, and create more problems for themselves. Others listen, and we work with them and help them through the problems. And you'll find that the leadership of the church is quite compassionate. Don't get the idea that because something, you know, it isn't, we haven't hammered somebody, but therefore we're condoning things they do wrong. We're not. We do a lot of agonizing and anguish to try to help and encourage those who are having difficulties. That we may do this with joy and not with grief, for that wouldn't be possible for you. You know, we have feelings too, and we would like to have happiness and joy, and we feel a great deal of satisfaction when we see somebody who has shaped up their lives, even though they may have had a lot of difficulty, and started doing right with God. In Ezekiel 3:17-23, it says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hands. You know, that's a heavy weight of responsibility. And we find it very difficult sometimes to we don't want to get on people. I hate it. But we try as best we can to help the person to go get back on the right track, even though they've made some bad mistakes. Because we care. We really do care. And if we don't, and we don't say anything and they get into more trouble and lose their soul, then we become accountable. So we have to speak. Yet if you warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness and from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Not much satisfaction in that, believe me. But it's true. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at your hand. Our righteous works are not going to save us if we're going to go ahead and do wrong. We may have been Christian at one time. A lot of people, well, you know, you have to tell me what to do. God gave us the responsibility, and we're accountable for telling people what God said. So, give us a break. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, you have delivered your soul. That's the way we really like it. Finally, let's look at the effects on the watchman. And I have mentioned that already, that we do have feelings. We care about the loss. We care about different people's concerns. We have to deal with a lot of things in which we care about whether one person is running over others, for instance. We've had people in the church who have robbed others of thousands of dollars. Now, that's shaking out your dirty laundry, maybe, but that's happened. And we've had to go head-to-head with those people and try to straighten them out. But just because we care, and we have to care for the people who are being taken advantage of. And others want to force what they want on other people and have their way. But God has given us the responsibility of watching for everybody. Hebrews 13:7, he says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch on behalf of your souls, that they might do it with joy and not with grief. You know, we like to be happy. We like to see people happy. Our joy is seeing you succeed, seeing Chris succeed. That's the one thing that I really serve. I don't serve for the money, believe me, because I can make a lot more someplace else. I didn't give up everything and drag my wife and my kids out here to start this church because I wanted to make a lot of money or be a big shot. I came here because I care about what God wants, and I want to see people succeed. And when people don't succeed, it hurts. And the whole eldership, and the evangelist, and many others, that's our concern. I don't know why people, and when they're doing wrong, they tend to want to think that somehow somebody's picking on them. And that's not, we're trying to help them. We want to do it with joy. We want to be happy with them in their success. Nothing makes me happier than when I see young people who maybe have been in trouble and they get out of it and they grow up and they have good homes and their children and are doing well. I love that. I love success. To see people succeed is our success. Do it with joy and not with grief. You know, sometimes the things that hurt the most sometimes is just going back and looking at some of the old pictures of the church and seeing the failures. There's all these successes in those pictures too, but somehow when you see the people, we've had people who have committed suicide. We've had people who were killed because they got involved in all kinds of bad things. We've seen all kinds of problems over the years. And here we have all these successes in the picture, but I can't help but my eyes go to those who have blown it, who have made a mess of their lives, and maybe are in prison. And I've visited a lot of them, believe me. And I see that over the years. And we've tried hard to help people to be what they should be in Christ. Jeremiah talks about the problem, the struggles that he had. In verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 7 through 9, says, O Lord, you have compelled me. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am a derision daily. Everyone mocks me. You know, it isn't always fun to be the guy on the point in front of the lines. For I cried out violence and destruction because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And if I say I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, then there is in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I cannot contain. The burning in the bones is sometimes a terribly difficult thing to handle. You try to speak what God wants, and yet there are those who insist on challenging and going against those things, and they make all kinds of accusations about your lack of love, things like that. And Jeremiah felt that problem. For I have heard the defaming of many, terror on every side, denounce, and we will denounce him, say all my familiar friends, they that watch for my fall. Oh, they're just happy to have him fall. Peradventure he will be persuaded, and we shall prevail against him. And we'll try to change his mind. Paul was concerned also about the Galatians. The Galatian church had a lot of problems. They were slipping away from the truth and going back into things that they had no business. O foolish Galatians, he says in 3:1, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? And again in 4:16, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because they tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but no, not for good. They would exclude you that you might seek them. Paul's anguish because of sin at Corinth was another example of the problem of the struggle that leaders have. 2 Corinthians 2:1-4, he says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again unto you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that makes me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? It was a struggle for Paul that he had to make them unhappy by telling them the truth. It hurt. And in fact, as he says in here, that he actually postponed his trip so that, in the hope that they would straighten out their problems so he could come there in joy. And I wrote this same thing unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. It's to your benefit. If I'm happy, it's to your benefit. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you that with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly towards you. Those who serve God have a great love and concern, and they want to see success in the lives of the people. Not just for themselves, hey? We do a lot of things that are unhappy things many times because we don't want anybody else to have to suffer with those things. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming? For you are our glory and joy. I wish I could somehow express that so that people really understood that your success is our joy. Really, that's true. The joy of the leadership of the church is to see Christians doing well. See Christians getting out of the problems and not getting into them. We're not your enemies. We're the ones who still are going to be caring for you after you've blown it terribly. It's like mom and dad. You know, the kids go out and they get into all kinds of trouble and so on. And they think that their friends out there, their buddies, who are drinking with them and carousing them and getting into all kinds of trouble with them, they're their friends. But when they get into real trouble, their friends are gone. And mom and dad sitting back there weeping for their plight are the ones that are still caring. And that's the way it is in the church. Those who are leaders, there's none of us getting paid enough to go through all the misery that a lot of people go through. If you want to find out how that people, if you want to go to somebody who is getting paid for it, go to a psychiatrist and check the bill. And you'll see the difference. We're the poor man's psychiatrist. Yes, you are our joy, our hope, our crown of rejoicing, even in the presence of the Lord at His coming. You're our glory and our joy. So how can you help us do our job? A lot of times people just don't know quite how to do it, how to be of help. The first and most important thing is to devote yourself to the Lord. Be a real Christian. Be conscientious. Love God. Do what's right. You're going to make us happy. You'll help us to do our job. Because then we can do it because it feels good. We want to do it. Not always, I hate to do this. Be faithful in service. We just had a meeting here just the other day. A problem that we've struggled with all through the years, the church, the fact that people don't follow through with what they're supposed to do. And so Keith has to keep checking everybody, and it gets to be pretty tiresome when people don't show up for the job. They just think, well, I can just take off. I don't have to be there. Come late for church and everything else. We're not faithful. That word doesn't mean anything. And we're not doing our part. We're not faithful in service. That throws the weight back on those who are having to take the leadership. So be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do for God. Be faithful to your word. Be thankful. You know, so much in this world would be solved if people were just thankful. It's so simple. Discontent, covetousness, wanting to have the say, blaming somebody else, instead of looking at what we've got. As Christians, we have a great and powerful and overwhelming, wonderful things. We are so blessed. I'm so blessed to see these little kids running around here, all over. I'm so blessed to see young people growing up. And marriage is happening here like popcorn. I am so blessed to see the church as the people. We have people of all ages. And we have some old people, you know, including myself. I'm blessed by those things. I'm thankful for all we've got. It hurts when people put it down and criticize. Work with the leadership. Now, I want you to notice that word "with" in there. Work with the leadership. If you work with us, we can do a lot. We can share and accomplish so much. If we work against each other, then we're going to have problems. We need to work together. And we need to share and realize that we have a great job to do. And if you work with us, come and talk with us. Not attack us. Give us help. We'll try to do everything we can to accomplish everything we can. Remember that we have to consider the needs of other people. And every idea doesn't work. We had 40 different ideas about what to do in this church roof. And we settled with it. It's been a real battle. We've done the best we could, and we're still working on it. And it's still leaking. But we're going to win eventually. But we're really working on these things and trying to do it. Work with us, and we'll go a lot farther. Support the leadership. You know, we can't always be, it's impossible to always watch your backside. People are critical and attack and cut down. Those are things you can't deal with, even if you know they're doing it. The thing to do is for each Christian to put down those things. You know, each Christian say, I like what's going on. Everything isn't perfect. I'm trying to work on those things. But we have so much good. Remember the donut, not the hole. Support us. Work with us. Encourage the leadership. You know, we like a little encouragement too. A lot of times people, you know, well, I need more encouragement. Well, that's true. We like to give as much as we can. We only have so many hours and so much opportunity. And a lot of times what people want really is somebody to say, it's okay what you're doing, even though it's wrong. So encourage the leadership so that we'll feel good about trying to do better. It really helps. Again, pray for the leadership. Hey, God says pray for your enemies. Okay? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they submit and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let's do what God said. Sam is singing our song of closing this morning. Family of God, do we have someone to start the music on that? Okay. Anybody want to start it? The family of God. Family of God, I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the deep and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Praise God. Thank you all so much.